Hello, you're tuned in to KCPR 91.3 FM, San Luis Obispo. I'm Spencer J here with Glenn Brigman, along with other members of the psych rock sensation known as Triptides. How are you doing, Glenn?
Thanks so much for having me and Brennan and Patrick on the show here.
Yeah, no problem. You guys released your first EP, the self-titled EP, back in 2010. Did you guys play music as a group before this, or was this kind of the origination of Triptides?
The first EP was pretty much right after the band started. I was working with the previous co-writer, Josh Menashe. We got together and put that EP together in our basement. We were living in this house in Bloomington, Indiana, had a big basement, and we ended up recording a bunch of stuff down there and came out with those early EPs and our first LP, and it was basically a recording project. Ended up being more of a live band as it started getting some traction, and we played around town, but didn't do too much touring or anything. But not for the first couple of years. That was pretty much the formative recording and jamming years for sure.
So during those kind of years, was that how you pretty much formed your collective sound as a band?
It's gone through variations over the years, as we get into different stuff and listening to different music and different inspiration. But we started off trying to be sort of a surf rock band back then, into the Beach Boys and the Ventures and the Tornadoes and all that stuff. And then kind of got more into the psychedelic rock side of things. We'd always been interested in that, but we found that we were pretty good at, trying to recreate some of those vibes or whatever you want to call that.
How did you immerse yourself within the psych rock scene?
I don't know. We've kind of been on the outside of the scene. We never tried to be, a part of anything. We were kind of our own little island of weird, Indiana basement psychedelia, whatever you want to call that. But when we moved to California in 2014, I started going out and seeing other bands, like-minded individuals that were into the same kind of music as us, and eventually started meeting people like the dudes from Levitation Room, who we worked with on their last record, and who I just finished recording their second record with. And we met the Mystic Graves dudes and the Creation Factory and a bunch of other bands like that. And I don't know. So there is more of that kind of scene in LA. And I guess that would be our first sort of, gathering with other people in the same sense. But we were hanging out with some people in Chicago, like Lucille Furze, and that's how I got to know Brennan and Patrick, who are now playing in the group with us. So that's kind of a funny story too. There was a little Chicago psychedelic scene too, and there's different pockets all over the United States of that kind of energy and those kind of inspirations, whatever you want to call it. So I don't know. It's interesting thinking about it as one giant scene, but it's more like little scenes all over the place, connected by people.
Yeah, that's super cool to hear. When I talked to the singer of Dead Meadow, he actually kind of said the same thing. He started playing shows in Washington, D.C., and then found like-minded individuals in the West Coast with Brian Jonestown, and just kind of started playing shows together.
That's funny you mentioned Jason, because I play bass with him too sometimes. Oh, awesome. His solo project, it's either Old Testament or his name. He switches it up sometimes. But he's a good friend and a really great musician too. I consider him definitely on the same frequency as, good psychedelic rock people. And Rob from Brian Jonestown and Rob Campanella, he's a good guy. We're actually playing with his band, The Quarter After, tomorrow night in LA, and that's another really great kind of Byrdesian psychedelic rock band. A lot of 12-string guitar and mellotron, and he's on a good vibe as well in terms of that sort of psychedelic revival stuff, but taking it somewhere else and not just being pure revival.
Yeah, that's awesome. Would you consider your relationship with Vinyl Williams to be pretty similar?
Lionel's awesome. He's such a great guy. We get along on a lot of levels and we're into the same stuff. He's definitely into looking into the future and he's way ahead of me on looking to what's going to be happening down the road and where music's going and taking inspiration from everything from computer technology and aliens to just crazy, awesome stuff that I don't even understand. Lionel's the man, and I really respect his work. And he's actually working on a music video for Tripsides right now. He's making like a kind of a surrealistic virtual reality video for one of our songs, which should be out in the next couple of weeks. So we're really excited about that. And I hope to release some music that, I mean, we've worked on some songs together and recorded together, but we haven't released anything. But hopefully one of these days we'll do a collaborative effort and, you know, share something with both of us on it.
Yeah, that'd be something to look forward to for sure. So when did you end up meeting Samira Winter?
I met Samira right after I moved to L.A. I went to a show. I had met Julian Porte from Levitation Room, and he brought me out to a show. It was Joel Jerome and Samira's band, Winter. And maybe Levitation Room was playing. I'm not sure. Or maybe we were just kicking it, hanging out. But, Samira was there, and she realized that I liked Brazilian music and spoke a little Portuguese, so we hit it off and started going to shows together and eventually started jamming and trying to, like, you know, just make some cool recordings. And, you know, 2 years later, I guess actually 3 years later, we decided to put out the album. And it just was super organic and super easy and really fun. And she's awesome to work with. And I think we're actually going to be doing some tour dates together next year. That's kind of in the works right now. So stay on the lookout for Winter and Tripsides coming through your town.
Yeah, definitely. So what was the creative process like when you made Estrella Magica together?
She would bring the songs to the table, say, I've got these ideas in mind. And I would say, cool, let's jam. I'd play the drums. She'd play the guitar. We'd basically, structure out the song, figure out where the verses, choruses, bridge, all that good stuff. And then record drums and guitar. And then I would overdub some of the other stuff, bass, keys, lead guitar, or we'd have people come in, like Mason from Fever the Ghost played bass, Jason from Dead Meadow played guitar on one of the tracks. We had some of her Brazilian friends playing on it, and it just came together super organically, and just whoever was hanging out or whoever we decided, hey, that would be cool, let's phone him up, or that's how we had Kobe from the Buttertones playing flute. We just like, hey, let's call Kobe, and he came over and had his flute ready, and it was really nice, man. And I mixed it, and it just kind of hung out for a while, and then she was like, hey, let's release it, and one thing led to another, and now it's on wax, so that's pretty cool.
What would you consider to be your favorite song of the album?
My favorite song is probably Doce Violeta, just because that was the first one we recorded together. And it just seems, I like remember it so vividly. It was like so, super early in my Los Angeles, you know, living in LA time. And it was just a really exciting time because I just moved to a new city and I was already recording with cool people. And we made this really rad song. And I just remember listening to it being like, wow, like, where did this thing come from? Kind of like this just, I don't even know how it happened. It was just so easy and so fun. And then you hit play and it's just like, you know, something you really enjoy listening to. And that was that sort of situation. That doesn't happen every day. So I think we were both really excited. And that sort of sparked the inspiration to continue recording together. Like if that song hadn't have been so fun and easy, like I don't know if we would have continued making recordings. But since we had such a good time, it was just a no-brainer to keep going and try some more ideas.
That's super interesting. Do you guys think you'll ever try to make some music videos together for that album?
We actually did make a music video, and it should be coming out in the next week or two, so keep a lookout for that.
Sweet, will do. So I checked out your social media and saw that you guys are going to be touring Europe for your next line of shows. Have you guys been to Europe as a band before?
Yeah, we've been to Europe twice, two summer tours last year and this past summer, but we've never been in the winter, and it's exciting to, you know, go on a different part of the year and, you know, see how people, you know, are ready to, you know, go to shows. And it seems like there's a lot of stuff happening all over Europe in the summer, lots of festivals and shows, but there's not as many festivals, and it seems like maybe people might be more excited for going out and, you know, seeing some music. And, you know, we're hoping it'll be a good tour, and we're bringing some new people like Brennan and Patrick.
Oh, yeah.
And our buddy Steven's playing guitar. So it's pretty much a new lineup right now. And we're excited to, you know, it'll be our first tour with a new lineup, and we're going to some places that the guide's never been, I've never been. And yeah, we always have so much fun in Europe, and the crowds are really awesome and super energetic and respectful and cool, and we get along with everybody. And it's just a really nice experience, and that's what keeps us coming back. We love our booking agent, Joran, at the Lullaby Factory. That's a fantastic job. And I mean, it really makes it an easy process for us to get over there and play shows and make the most out of it. So it's just, it's a great time for everyone involved, I think.
Yeah, that's definitely interesting. I think you touched on it a little bit. You were talking about how the people are at the shows in Europe. How do the shows in Europe compare to those in like the United States, like these little pockets of psychedelia?
I think people are excited in Europe when American bands come over there, because you're like, it's an imported entertainment experience. It's not something they can see every day. So more people are inclined to like go out and check it out than maybe if you're playing a show, you know, in another part of California where people are like, oh, they live in LA, we'll catch them next time. Or, you know, you play some places and in the U.S. and there's so many bands playing every night, like some people just kind of get burnt out. But I feel like the energy level in Europe for live music is pretty high, and people have get excited about it. And it's really nice to see that. And I mean, I love playing shows in the USA, don't get me wrong, but it's definitely cool to see like people on the other side of the ocean going crazy when you're playing a show in their town. And it makes it all really fun for us.
That seems super exciting. Is there anything that you're looking forward to on this tour particularly?
Let's see. You know, we're playing in Portugal. We haven't been back. We haven't played in Portugal since 2013. We got invited to play Rock in Rio Festival. Maybe it's 2014. I can't remember. But that was really cool. We had a great time. It's a beautiful country. And we just haven't rooted the tours there the last two times, but this time we're going to play two shows or three shows in Portugal, which is really, we're thinking it's going to be a blast. And we're playing a festival in Spain called Purple Weekend in León, and we're excited about that. It's like a classic festival. It's gone on for like over 10 years, I think, and there's a bunch of cool bands playing. So that's probably the highlights. I mean, we love playing in Germany and Netherlands, Switzerland, beautiful places. We love the UK. We have friends all over the place. But as far as things I'm looking forward to, just some new experiences over in Portugal and the Spanish festival for sure.
Yeah, that just seems insane. This is just like an overarching question. What would you consider to be your most serendipitous show you've ever played?
Most what?
Serendipitous show.
Serendipitous. That's a good question. It might be playing in Portugal for that Rock in Rio thing, because we got invited because I think the promoters thought we were a British band and they would just fly us from England to Portugal because we were working with a British label. But we were actually in Bloomington, Indiana, and they didn't retract their invite once they found that out. So they flew us from New York to Portugal and the Rolling Stones headlined. So we got to see the Rolling Stones for free, like all together, like pretty much right next to the stage. I mean, we were like hanging out next to the stage to see who Gary Clark Jr. was playing. And then like Stones were about to come up and we were like, oh my God, we're going to be side stage for the Stones. And then, of course, like the Stones tour manager was like, you have to leave. But we walked right down the stairs or whatever, and we were really close. And it was pretty amazing. They played an amazing set. We played a pretty good set. I mean, I think we were all a little nervous because it was probably our biggest show to date, like a pretty large festival gig. But, I mean, they really treated the band nicely, and we met some nice friends in Portugal. And I think everyone was really inspired by getting invited to go play a festival abroad for the first time. And I think that like inspired everyone who was there, like me and Josh and our buddy Dylan, who's the Frankie and the Witchfingers singer. He was on bass. And I think that was like all like, we were all like, holy, holy crap. Like, this is like, we can actually like play music and like play these like big shows. And that was something new for us. So I think that was pretty serendipitous experience.
Yeah, that definitely sounds serendipitous.
Yeah, I think we all looked at each other like backstage, like, I think we should just try and do this for a living, or like do this for the rest of our lives. And like, we're all like, yeah, that sounds good. Okay, cool.
Do you guys have any future plans after the what you get back from Europe?
Yeah, like I said, we're in the works for a tour in the early 2019. I guess a West Coast tour is in the works, hopefully with winter. And next summer, we'll probably head back to Europe. We're looking at possible dates in Australia at the end of next year and maybe Southeast Asia. I mean, this is stuff that's like on the calendar. I mean, there's some maybes for sure, but you know, this is the stuff that we're trying to get accomplished. So, you know, we're shooting for some new places and traveling, you know, to the other side of the world would be cool. So yeah, hopefully we can just keep on, you know, hitting these tours, and we'll have a new record hopefully by the end of, you know, the summertime next summer. We're sitting on a ton of songs right now, and it's just a matter of, you know, sifting through all these demos, like piles of demos, and figuring out, okay, what do we want to record? What's an album? What gels together, and what vibe do we want to put on this next group of songs?
But you know, definitely looking forward to it all. That seems amazing.
Right on, Spencer. Yeah, hopefully, you know, we'll have some more news about all that soon.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, thank you for spending all your time with KCPR.
Oh yeah,
thanks, Spencer.
Yeah, man, appreciate you having us on the show. It's really nice of you to invite us.